Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders brought to you by our good friends at Band of Coders. Stone, how you doing today?
I am doing well, man, but I think we need a policy change. I think we start a cover charge. Yeah. For letting people in the studio. This may be a record. We got some folks with us from Band of Coders, and we've got a whole group of folk from WIT, Women in Technology. Beginning with, we have Miss Carmen Hodnett. Am I saying that right?
You did well.
I did. Terrific. So, Carmen, I know we got a room full of folks, and if you can keep everybody straight, at some point we'd like you to introduce them all and let us know who's in the room, and we're going to get a chance to visit with all of them. But first, can you just share with us, kind of give everybody a little bit of a primer, an overview of mission and purpose of WIT, what you guys are out there trying to do for folks?
WIT is a wonderful organization that reaches out. Obviously, it is women in technology, and we try very hard to reach out to fulfill our vision. Our vision is to make Georgia the state with the highest percentage of women in the STEM workforce, which is pretty aggressive, but it can be done. 50% by the year 2020.
50%. Now, what's the percentage now, if you had to guess? It's not anywhere near that, right?
I think we're actually in single digit. It's
single
very
digit?
Low.
Really? Wow. Single digit?
All right, so we got work to do. That's why y'all. That's why you're all
that's
here,
That's why
right?
they're here.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But that is the vision. And to fulfill that, you know, our mission is to reach as many women as we can as early in their career as possible in order to get them placed in that position.
And some of the ways that you help them early in their career is what?
We actually have quite a bit of reach out with the various organizations within WIT. We have the Girls Get IT. We have various Careers in Action. We have so many initiatives underway to reach them at the various points, reaching out to all the way down to elementary, middle school.
Right, so it's even pre-career, right? You want to get them as early as possible, as young as possible.
Yes.
And then once they're in their career, don't you have mentorships and job shadowing and those kind of opportunities as well?
We do. And so for a lot of women who want to give back, there's so much opportunity to step in and do that mentoring.
But I would think pre-career is so important because at least I'm operating under the impression, and I'm a father of two girls, and so this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I don't want my girls or anyone else's girls to feel like their options are limited. And I do suspect, anyway, I said that I know, but I guess it's more of a suspicion, that a lot of times they don't have STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, careers even on their radar often. You know, I mean, I can tell you for a fact, I got one of mine that's very interested in international affairs, and I've got another one that's very interested in graphic arts. I've never heard either one of them talk about STEM careers. So pre-career is important, isn't it?
It's very important. And, you know, some of us get there by design, some of us get there by default. And so many times it's your personal strengths. And so it's a real challenge for us to find those personal strengths and to grow them, to get them into these fields and to keep them engaged.
And this is an entire organization fervently dedicated to awareness, education, promoting these ideas. And we've got some really bright, passionate folks in the studio with us. I know at the table right now we have Natasha Anderson, Director of STEM Initiatives with Georgia Piedmont Technical College.
That's correct.
Did I call all that? All right, lean in. Don't let that microphone whip you, babe. Go ahead, lean right in there, almost kissing it. There you go. So thank you so much for coming. Looking forward to learning from your perspective what we can and should be doing to support all this. And we have Valerie Mackey, IT Performance Leader with a little company some of you may recognize called Coca-Cola. Welcome.
That's correct. Thank you. That little company, Coca-Cola.
We're big Coke fans around here. The oldest, the one I told you about, the international affairs, she will fight you. There is nothing allowed in her apartment but Coca-Cola. I'll have to tell you that story sometime.
We appreciate that.
So we got some other folks in the cheap seats, and we're going to move them in and out to talk to them as well. Does anybody here know everybody so that we can let folks know who we're talking to? Can you tell us, Natasha, who else we've got, or can you... All right, yeah, so who else do we have in the studio today with us?
Okay, we also have Tracy Zuko, who's with Brambles, and we have Denise Reese with Endava Corporation.
All right, fantastic. And then you in the far corner, you're just going to stay really just behind the scenes. All right, you're doing a great job. flawless so far.
And one oversight. I also did need to mention that Denise is president of the Witt Foundation.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fantastic. Well, welcome to all of you. And I'll start here with Valerie, if I might. But, yeah, tell us. I'm sorry. I know. I grabbed you and then I said, I grabbed Natasha's arm and said, I'll start with Valerie. Valerie, what compelled you to get involved with this organization? What's driving you personally to invest time, energy, and resources in this whole topic?
So this whole topic is very interesting to me because I do see less of the female community in the events we attend in our organizations, right? And I think that if we start young, I got involved with WIT from an executive readiness class that I participated in a few years back, and they told us about the organization Girls Get IT, which has middle and high school girls. Very interested in that. And ever since then, I've taken an active part of bringing those girls into our corporation to show them things like job shadowing programs and behind-the-scenes programs because they don't really understand how to make that connection. When you say STEM, it really doesn't mean anything. Or an engineer, they think of an engineer as a guy that drives a train sometimes. So, you know, it's beyond that. So until we help them understand early exactly what's involved in STEM careers and the things you can do and the career paths you can take, they won't do it. So helping get involved early to understand that there's so many different ways, and we have them talk to women of all different career paths to see that you can take a lot of paths to get here and enjoy many different facets of this whole big STEM world.
Now, do you find it interesting that it's not that girls and women don't use technology, right? That it's not a fear of technology. It's where do you think the disconnect is from the using and the actually creating and participating in the technology?
Understanding that, and that's a very good example, when you look at babies now at two, they have an iPhone and an iPad.
Right, an app.
And
right, you see them at
Android or whatever, touching things. But to help them understand, you know what, somebody designed that screen that you're touching, and someone designed the application behind that screen that you're touching and that device. So until we can help them understand, and you won't have this technology unless you invest some time to innovate these types of technologies, and you have to be an active part of wanting to advance this technology.
Right.
And not only that, but girls think about STEM differently than boys do. Most of the time you'll find a girl who's an engineer or a designer or something in those hard STEM careers, they do it to help. They do it to make something better, make a product better, make something better in their environment or their wherever they live. So when we talk about getting girls interested in STEM, it's not a matter of just exposing them to the different components, to science or technology. It's, okay, what can make my world better? That's the approach I think we need to take in regard to getting more girls interested in STEM.
Now, how does it, like you each are part of technology, you grew up in technology, where was the, at some point you said that this is a path that you would be interested in pursuing, whereas other girls or women are choosing not to? Like, what kept you on that path?
Well, I was the girl who would tear up her stuff. You know, her dolls. You know,
peers? So you were that girl.
I'm a twin, so I always had a playmate. But so her and I are so vastly different. So she would dress the dolls, and I would tear them up, and then try to put them back together.
Try to figure it out.
Like, how does this thing work? And that fueled my interest all the way through school. Physics made the most sense to me, especially in terms of acceleration and velocity.
But in the physics class, how many other women or girls were there?
Actually, in my class, you're asking me to go back a ways.
But at some point, there were less and less, right?
You know what? Not until I got to college did I notice, because my high school was integrated. Was, you know, there was a lot of girls in my class. There were a lot of
African
Americans.
Right.
You know, I think it was.
Engaged.
I don't know if it was by. On purpose. It was just the way it was. And, you know, this is our neighborhood. So it was a diverse group of people I was in class with. Now, when I got to college, I went to Georgia Tech. I started at Georgia Tech, ended up at Southern Tech. That's when I started to notice that
many other girls around.
Well, and especially when I got into my major courses, then I was often the only black person and the only woman.
So you like to stand out, don't you?
I do what I can.
I get the sense that it wasn't always a negative for you. I think you kind of got a little juice from that. Yeah. So I want to bring in the director of human resources with the Brambles group into the conversation because I have some questions about the recruiting side of this thing. So please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Tracy Zucco.
Thank you, yes.
Well, welcome to the show. So from a recruiting standpoint, have you now, or have you maybe always, kind of had your eyes open and your ear to the ground for females that were interested in STEM careers, or is this a relatively recent development, or how has this whole thing evolved for you personally?
Sure. So I've worked for a couple of different organizations supporting global IT. I've worked actually with Valerie at the Coca-Cola company previously, and then with Verizon. And we've always had an eye toward best talent. So best talent is going to include both women and men in the workforce, and I'm so privileged to work for a female CIO.
Ah.
So we definitely have an eye not only toward diversity, but also hiring women in the workforce, because we know women can be very, very successful in technical careers.
Well, in my experience is women are smarter, they're better with money, they're more collaborative, they're just better on all fronts.
Yes. My experience is well with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we would agree.
Totally.
Now, women CIOs, that's a short list, isn't it?
It's a very short list.
Now, here in Atlanta, there seems to be quite a few, or more than I would think the norm.
There are more than a few. The numbers are growing. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we're really interested in is building that talent pipeline. So
right.
CIOs don't necessarily come out of the technical arena. So what we look for is good business people, both to recruit into IT and then to export from IT. So what we're really looking to do is utilize WIT as a vehicle, not only to spread the word that if you're interested in a C-suite type of job, that they are available and it is possible, but there isn't necessarily this vertical pathway to get to be a C-suite employee. It doesn't necessarily have to be that you start as a programmer, then you become an architect, then you go into some other area within IT. You can be a CIO. You can be a CIO of an organization right here in Atlanta because you're a great business person, that you understand the technology, and then you put yourself around with good people who do understand the technical details.
So let's talk a little bit about the activities of WIT. What are some things that happen throughout the year? What are some things that are coming up soon that we ought to make sure that we know about? And I'm going to start with you, but in a little bit I want to get Denise Reese on here. So talk to me a little bit about some of your involvement.
Well, I'm new to WIT. I think it's coming up on a year for me, and I found it just by searching on the internet for something for. I'm very passionate about women in STEM. And so when I found this organization, I had to be a part of it. I've gone to a couple of events that WIT has put on, especially the behind-the-scenes events. Those are great, especially mm-hmm. for women, getting women in to see what this career or this business offers. Also, I really like the WIT on campus. And so we're on my campus, we're hosting one soon. So yeah, you guys come out.
So now, when you're sharing with the students about WIT, are they open to getting involved? Is that like
you know what's funny about our campus is it's mostly a male-dominated campus. So when I put out the notice that there's a WIT event going on someplace, I will get 5,000 emails from the male students saying, "Hey, what about us?"
Oh, really?
So yes, and so I'm always like, well, there's a lot of things already available to you. We want to highlight women.
Right.
And I always get a lot of feedback from that.
Now, why don't we talk about this and any upcoming events?
Sure, absolutely. And this is Denise Reese joining. We've just done a little bit of musical chairs. I'm, as was mentioned earlier, I'm president of the WIT Foundation Board. And we always have a laundry list of activities that are happening. But actually next week, the 20th of August, I believe, is our upcoming monthly networking forum. We do those on the third Wednesday of every month. They're held at the Western Perimeter here, not far from here in Dunwoody. And that's a great networking opportunity. We'll have a fantastic panel discussion similar to the one that we all participated on in July. And the title is Engaging, Attracting, and Retaining Top Talent. Kitty Cheney Reed from NCR, Cindy Liu, CEO and co-founder of the Novo Group, will be on the panel, as well as Pam Beckerman from JBN Consulting. So that's coming up next week. You can actually go to our website, www.mywit.org, and that will give you all of the instructions that you need in order to register and to be able to participate. And we have great breakfast as well. It's at 7:30 in the morning, so we will feed you if you come out and join us.
The WIT Foundation is a subset of WIT?
Yeah, so we are the 501c3, so we are the charitable or nonprofit arm of Women in Technology. And the famous slogan is that WIT takes in the money and I get to spend it, which is the best job ever. But we do a huge amount in the community. So not only do we have our Girls Get IT program, we've talked a little bit about WIT on Campus, which is our pre-career arm of the organization, but we also do charitable giving. So we actually give grants to other nonprofits in the community that are focused on getting girls interested in STEM careers and education opportunities. We're a huge supporter of Georgia First Robotics as well.
Right.
And we give a substantial amount of money to the First Robotics organization annually. But then we also have a subset of teams that we sponsor, many of whom are girls-only robotics teams that are competing. We've also funded a Formula One, an all-girls Formula One team. The F1 organization has F1 in schools, and Team Shift are our girls, and they have gone to Dubai. They've competed with folks in Germany all around engineering and designing Formula One cars, which is pretty cool.
And the robotics team did extremely well in competition as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Genius Girls are doing some wonderful things, and an appropriate name for them as well. But we have some fantastic young women that are participating in robotics, and many of them weren't even thinking about robotics. They were brought on as maybe a program manager or program director on the teams, and then have moved into actual engineering and design. And it's actually helped them to understand what are the opportunities that exist for them, and also that they can compete effectively with their male counterparts as well, which is super exciting, because that's what we want to do, is not just introduce them to the opportunity, but get them to raise their hand and say, hey, I can do that as well.
Now, from a career standpoint, there can't be a better career than technology, right? Isn't there a shortage of developers and people in technology right now?
Just period, amen, and not just right, shortage of females. I mean, there's just a shortage, period, right?
It's a very competitive market. The Atlanta market is a very competitive market, and it's really another reason why we are all a part of WIT, because we get to make those connections. We know where the talent is, who the most talented folks are, and we know how to go to the pool to get that talent. But it's a very competitive market, and we do need more participants in STEM careers.
And then, like, from Coca-Cola's standpoint, are you always looking for developers and technology people? Is that a never-ending?
We're always looking for technology people, development people, business people, because, like we said, it's not just core technology. You have to have a business mind as well.
Right.
So we actually can have people in a technology field that majored in art because they're creative. We need innovation, right?
Right.
So innovation is key right now. The company doesn't innovate doesn't perform.
Right.
So it's not just about making sure you have that computer science degree or that you're a pure technologist, but that you're a well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. So we don't want people to feel like just because they didn't have that technology degree that they aren't a viable candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to replay this entire segment for my Kelly, because she's very talented, very interested in graphic arts, but there may be a great deal she can do to contribute to society and to an organization if she applies those skills and that innate ability to a technology field inside a large organization like a Coca-Cola. But the overarching point is, you guys aren't just doing this to be good stewards and be nice to an underserved constituency. It's good business.
Absolutely.
To do what you guys, right?
Yes,
it is. Absolutely.
There's a lot of studies that are being done now about companies that really do embrace diversity, so that they're embracing diversity of thought, that they have more women in senior executive roles within the company, more women on their boards.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually outperforming those
right.
companies that aren't. So there's actually a science behind this, and it's not just a kind of a nice thing to do. It does make good business sense.
Now, if you're a woman that's in college, is there a certification or a degree that you would kind of point them toward?
That's
I think that people should follow their passions. Absolutely. Because where your passion lies is how you're going to be most successful. Do what you love and the money will come. So I don't know that it would necessarily be a particular degree, but certainly any technical degree is highly desired and highly sought after for large organizations, medium-sized organizations within our community for sure.
I think if you look at the career path of many of the C-suite executives, like we pointed out, you can be a CIO, a chief information officer, or a chief technology officer. That person probably hasn't had a purely technical career and a path. So you can major in anything and let your path and your involvement in your organization take you to the path that may lead you to a technical degree.
You know, that's a great point that Valerie made. I actually had the privilege of having lunch yesterday with one of my favorite people who happens to be one of those female CIOs here in town, Marie Mouchet, over at Southern Nuclear and Southern Companies. And I've always just been so just enamored by her. She's just a great person. But I found out, I just made the assumption, because she's managing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of technology implementations for her organization, multi-billion-dollar construction projects, and just overseeing just so many just amazing things. But it turns out she has a mathematics degree, and she was a mathematics teacher. And that's where her career started. And then she realized that, okay, I can do other things. But she then talked about how her life in the classroom has helped her as she's building her team, as she's developing her people. So regardless of what you're interested in, and that's what we really preach to the girls that come through our programs, if you're interested in fashion, if you're interested in music, if you're interested in design, whatever that is, there's a technology component that goes along with it. And that's the story that we want to tell our girls.
And not only that, but there is a critical thinking. I know we hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. Critical thinking, you're over it, right? But that piece is very important, and especially if we're talking about any of those STEM careers, it's required. And learning how to problem solve, learning how to fail, mm-hmm. or somebody said fail greatly.
Fail fast.
You know, something like that. So learning how to do that and then pick yourself back up, all of that is encompassed in those STEM careers. So, and that and those things can take you far. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you stay in technology or you stay in engineering or wherever. But those things can take you so far. So, and those are things that you need. And those aren't necessarily those hard, fast skills. They're not like I can draw something on a CAD system in 10 minutes. I probably could. I'm an engineer. but that doesn't necessarily serve me in my current job.
Right.
But those problem solving skills and being able to think critically about an issue, those do.
And I think that's the point about when you get your degree. A lot of people go through their career that's different from what they had their degree in.
Right.
And that's because that degree, that class, taught you how to do the critical thinking.
Right.
And that science and that technology, that engineering, that math, they're all very related and require that structured thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think if I had to say there was a particular career or particular major, something that does make sure you have that structured foundation is really great. Mm-hmm.
That ability to learn how to learn and mm-hmm. be open-minded to things and look at problems in a lot of different ways.
And I can't stress this enough. And I just came from another event where they talked about this, but learning how to fail and the backlash after that happens, that's so important. There's a lot of, especially our kids, they don't know how to fail. So once they fail at something, it's over. It's like, oh, okay, well, I can't do that.
Right.
Well, in our careers, we fail all the time.
Right. You got to be a little more resilient.
I mean, honestly, we do. I fail all. I mean, every day I'm like, oh, okay, well, that didn't
work. Don't do that, right.
You know, and said, well, let me do something else. So you have to learn how to do that with grace and dignity and keep it moving.
Right.
But we don't, there's not a class. You can't, there's no class on failure, right?
Right.
So we it's encompassed in what we do.
So that's a great tip for young people in general, just to in their career, is to not be afraid to take risks and get out of their comfort zone,
right.
So you can have those opportunities to fail. Are there any other tips you would give a woman in her career? I mean, you mentioned passion, follow your passion. Are there any other tips you would give somebody that's young that is deciding what to do with their lives?
Connect.
Connect.
So I think the most important thing is, and a lot of folks coming out of college say, okay, now I've got a business degree, what
now
do I
what,
do?
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting
and
for
they're waiting.
The phone to ring, right?
Sure. The most important thing is when you make those connections and you have conversations with other professionals, I think it builds your competencies and it builds your portfolio of what you thought might be possible. Mm-hmm. It broadens it. So when somebody goes into an organization, they say, okay, I'm going to be a programmer. But then they look at marketing and they go, okay, that's really kind of very interesting.
Right.
Marketing requires a lot of heavy analytics. So where those analytics are important in programming, they could also be leveraged in marketing.
Right.
So we don't have to think about our careers as being linear, but the most important thing is if you see something out there that you think is really cool or really interesting, have a conversation, because most of us would absolutely just have a pleasure to have that conversation with somebody that's interested in doing a role that's similar to ours or talking about our path.
On the backside of that is don't be scared. Don't be afraid, because I think that that's the reason why a lot of people don't. Because they think their career is supposed to be linear.
Right.
I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do that. If I told you the story on how I ended up to be sitting in this chair, I had to take a risk and follow through. It couldn't be scared about it. Just had to do it.
Right. A lot of people kind of eliminate themselves for opportunities by not making that call, just to call somebody up and ask them what their day in a life is like to see if they even like that.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. I would say also, you know, in addition to being fearless, is to really look outside of your world. Right. So I'm a big advocate and champion of getting that global experience, because we are in a global 21st century fast moving economy. Mm-hmm. Our competition is not just in Georgia, it's not just in the United States. So the more that you can go abroad and the more that you can get into study abroad programs, internships that can give you that international exposure, that was one of the best things that I could have done in my own personal career. It set me up in a way that I couldn't have imagined when I came back to the U.S. But I would say if there is ever an opportunity to do something outside of the country, to absolutely take advantage of that.
Everybody on this panel, you guys, you play so well together. Do you hang out a lot, or I guess maybe WIT provides that platform so you get a chance to? You just strike me as a very collaborative bunch that are probably very genuinely invested in the success of the other people at the table.
That's just all women.
That's how we all do all the time.
You know, though, the way I think of it, I mean, and I genuinely like everybody here, we don't hang out, but at the same time, is I feel like Denise's success is my success, Valerie's success is my success, so and Tracy's success is my success. So I think if you look at it that way, there's no competition. There's no need to compete. I mean, we're already competing with others, so there's no need for us to compete with each other. We have to help each other. I mean, that's one of the things that I think that WIT does so well, is provide us with the forum and the opportunities to be a help to other women and girls. So I love that.
And I think they provide a forum. So people go to events and networking events because they have an interest in it. So if you have a genuine interest in something the other person has a genuine interest in, you'll probably make a genuine connection with that person. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we genuinely connect is because we have the same passions and the same interests.
Absolutely.
We have these technology or STEM type of careers. We have gone to levels in our career that we appreciate and want to go to other levels, and that we see, you know, behind us are girls that want to come up, and we want to help them as well. So we just all have the common interest that we enjoy what we do, we want to succeed at what we do, and we want to help others do the same.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So now, how does WIT get involved with companies that may not have kind of a path for women? Does WIT look for companies like that to let them know, hey, we're a resource available? Is it a two-way street?
It is, but what we also find is that for companies that may not have a women's affinity group, internally, they do leverage WIT for that purpose, either to help them get something set up internally or to have their women to attend so that it fills that gap for them.
Sure.
And then that opens up the opportunity for us to be able to create these great strategic alliance relationships with companies in the community. And Coca-Cola and Brambles are both strategic alliance partners. And we also partner with Dr. Natasha and her team as well, and with WIT on campus. So there's always opportunities for us to be able to further engage with the business community, and that's really how we get things done. I mean, we have to raise money to run these programs, right? And so those relationships that we're able to foster help to facilitate that.
Now, can you talk about how like that began? Like, what was it a woman in one of these companies that found WIT and they bring it to the company? How does that
Well, I think,
work?
You know, when you think WIT has been around for over 20 years now. So we've been around a long time, and it went from being just kind of almost a social networking experience for women that were in the technology space to be able to get together. And then we started recognizing that there are needs that we need to fill in the community. So with our Careers in Action program and being able to get women at various stages of their careers, the leadership development that they need to be able to move to the next phase. Mm-hmm. With Girls Get IT, wanting to expose girls to all of these great opportunities that we've talked about, and then of course with WIT on campus. So we recognized very early on that we needed to have funding to be able to facilitate that. And the best way to do that is to partner with the business community to help to drive that. And that's really kind of how our strategic alliance program has grown. And today we've got 30 plus companies that partner with us, anywhere from a $5,000 to a $10,000 plus investment. But then when you start looking at the in-kind type of donations and gifts that we get. So I'll give a plug for my friends over at JBN Consulting. They are a strategic alliance partner, but then they also, as a consulting company, helped with our strategic planning. So they were able to provide us with some resources on that front. When you think about Coca-Cola as an example, they do various events. They buy, they're at everything that we do. There's someone from Coca-Cola there, and it's probably going to be Valerie. She's usually one of those several people that are there. And they send women through our career development programs. They sponsor Girls Get IT events and WIT on campus events, and the same thing with Tracy and the team over at Brambles and Chep. They have been all just fantastic partners to help us to move the needle forward and to get us closer to that 50-50 by 2020 goal that we have.
And the money is nice and everything, but I'm sure it's the time with the executives and actually seeing a person in that role. So it isn't some theoretical thing that I maybe I'm able to do. I'm actually seeing it in action, and I can see what a day in the life looks like. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It becomes more real. I'm sure that's valuable as well.
Most definitely. And then also, we did we're getting ready to kick off WIT on campus again, because we obviously run in tandem with the college calendar. But at our closing event, Tracy was there as an HR executive within technology, mm-hmm. helping our college students with their networking skills, reading over their resume, making sure that they're able to correctly clarify and quantify their skill set so that they're ready to go into either an internship or a paid job after graduation. We've had several sessions with Girls Get IT and WIT on campus, and I think Ed Steinecke has been involved and actually come
Absolutely.
And talk to the girls mm-hmm. as well. So and I don't think the girls even understand at, you know, middle school to be able to sit in an executive boardroom with Ed Steinecke, the CIO, the global CIO of the Coca-Cola company.
Right.
That's something I would pay a lot of money to have that opportunity, right?
Well, we've been at WIT Connect where we've seen them pay
absolutely
$20,000-$30,000.
Exactly, exactly. That's a great segue. Thank you.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have just finished up WIT Connect, and it was a great evening, lots of fun, lots of networking, but lots of money raised for a fantastic cause. And that is a way for us to be able to also get folks connected to the business opportunities that exist, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're bidding on the time of a C-suite or senior executive within a company, and to be able to turn that into what we've heard is multi-million dollar business deals on the back end of those $20,000 investments,
nice.
It's something that you really, you can't ask for anything more than that. And we're actually now gearing up for our next big event, which comes up in November, the Woman of the Year in Technology, or WODI as we like to call it. So we are accepting nominations. So if you know a woman either in a small, a medium, or an emerging company, or in a large enterprise that you think would be a great candidate, then we welcome folks to actually nominate those women. And we come together in November to really celebrate what women in technology are doing in the broader community.
Now, at that event, do you just celebrate the the winners, or do you have finalists and then?
We do have finalists. So we actually go through a rigorous judging process where we get the applications in. We narrow those down to our finalists, and those finalists are then celebrated on the evening. So even just getting nominated really is an honor. You right. really do get some great press and airtime as a result of that. And then we do acknowledge the winners that evening. And that is also where we announce who our Girl of the Year is as well. And I know that you've met Annika. She was here previously as well. So we'll be announcing our new Girl of the Year for 2015 in November also.
Now, why don't you share a little bit about the Girl of the Year, how that's selected?
Absolutely. So the Girl of the Year, very similar to WODI, it's actually sponsored by one of our corporate partners, Centel. They have taken that on as a part of their strategic alliance agreement, and they provide a laptop and just a great opportunity for the girls. We send them to the event in a limousine with them and their families. They get a table at the event as well, so they get a little celebrity status with it also. But that those girls have to go through the Girls Get IT program, so they have to have a certain number of a certain percentage of attendance at the Girls Get IT events, and they have to have their grades have to be on par. So we do request that they provide report cards. We ask them to get letters of recommendation from either folks that they've worked with through the companies that they've visited for Girls Get IT, as well as their counselors and educators at school. And we on the board and the Girls Get IT committee actually go through and grade those applications. And it is very difficult because these girls are extremely accomplished at 9th and 10th grade, way more put together than I was at that age. And so it's a very difficult job, but you can see from the caliber of young women that participate, it's just, it's amazing to see them and to watch them grow.
How many girls participate in that program?
So last year, I think, well, in terms of Girls Get IT overall, last year we touched 350 girls. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the number of girls that participated in the Girl of the Year competition, I think we had probably 10 or 12 girls that submitted applications, and probably the same amount from the year before. This is actually going to be our third year that we've done the Girl of the Year.
And the Girls Get IT, that's it aligns with the school year as well?
It does. It does. But we also do a job shadow program during the summer. So we'll have a week-long program in the latter part of July or June, actually.
It's getting to June.
Yes. And Valerie knows this because, why? The Coca-Cola Company is right. one of our companies that participates in job shadow. But the girls will actually go to a company for a week. They go to meetings. They literally, it's a day in the life of a female executive in technology. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, they may have a project that they work on with their mentors, with the other girls that were at that same company. And it's just amazing to see how they're able to collaborate with each other, establish relationships with the mentors at the companies, and then be able to just really express what they've learned during the course of that. And that's been a real game changer for several girls. They have decided to go into STEM majors once they've gotten to college or university because of the experiences that they've had through the job shadow program.
And that's based on relationships you have with middle schools? Is that how you get the word out for that?
So it's through middle schools. We work with Girl Scouts, with Cool Girls, other girl-serving organizations, mm-hmm. but we do work directly with the schools as well to really drive awareness and participation. And that program is actually growing substantially. And we probably next year, we may have to look at having two job shadow sessions because we have more girls than we have companies, but now we have more companies that right. are saying we want to get in on this as
That's
well.
Great. That's a good problem.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So now, website, contact information?
Certainly. www.mywit.org.
And then there they can find ways to connect.
Absolutely. And you can also follow us at on Twitter, at WITATL. And we're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on every social media channel that you can think of.
Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having us.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our good friends at Band of Coders. We thank them for making this show possible. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.